nobody wants to be stupid. All of us want to be smart. The Bible has a word for those kinds of things. It calls those who are stupid fools, and it calls those who are smart wise. Now, the question becomes, what do you mean by wise? And perhaps even more important is, how do you get it? Would that interest you? Would you like to be wise instead of a fool? Would you like to be smart instead of stupid? And would you like to know how to get it? Well, I'd like to answer some of those questions today. And I'd like to begin by turning to Proverbs chapter 1. So will you join me in Proverbs chapter 1? The first six verses of the book are called the prologue, or the introduction to the book. And in it, Solomon gives us the purpose of the book. So notice he says in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equality, equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Now, notice he talks about the fact that the purpose is to know wisdom. So let me start by just defining the word wisdom. What does that mean? Well, actually, it means a number of different things. Just look at the passage. There are synonyms for wisdom, all who have a little nuance of meaning. So look at verse 2, to know wisdom. That's the stated purpose of the book of Proverbs. But then he says, an instruction, which is another word for wisdom. He says in the latter part of verse 2, to perceive the words of understanding, another word for wisdom. In verse 4, he talks about prudence and discretion. In verse 5, he talks about learning. In the book of Proverbs, all those words are synonyms for wisdom. So let me take this rather basketful of knowledge and distill it to a couple of very simple things to define wisdom. For example, it concerns knowledge. So wisdom assumes knowledge, but it's more than knowledge. You can gain knowledge by going to college or going to a library or even going to the internet. But wisdom is beyond that. Wisdom in the book of Proverbs is something that comes not from the library or the internet, but from the Lord. One scholar on the book of Proverbs said, knowledge has enabled human beings to eliminate some of the dreaded diseases, to create the computer, to walk on the moon. But with all of our knowledge, we have not eliminated rape and robbery, nor have we created peace on the earth. Morally, modern man is a colossal failure that allows the murder of unwanted human beings. Without comprehensive knowledge, the human race cannot derive absolute knowledge. I thought that was a particularly insightful statement, that wisdom is beyond knowledge. It is comprehensive knowledge. It includes absolute knowledge. So, if you want to have wisdom, you got to have knowledge. God's knowledge. Let me give you a second word that I think is involved in biblical wisdom. It would be the word insight. That if you look at the occurrences of wisdom in the Word, you quickly discern that there is a spiritual aspect to wisdom. For example, verse 7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." Remember, that's a synonym for wisdom in the book of Proverbs. Then later in the book, in chapter 9, verse 10, it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So there is a spiritual dimension to this. There's also a moral component to wisdom. Matter of fact, in verse 3, it talks about, if you have wisdom, you have then insight into righteousness, justice, and equity. So there is an insight into spiritual and moral things included in the concept of wisdom. That scholar I mentioned a moment ago has said, "A righteous person is wise, and a wise person is righteous." Thus, wisdom in Proverbs has a spiritual, moral dimension. Matter of fact, I think that really puts its finger on something that's critical. In the book of Proverbs, there's an overlap, I would say, between wisdom and righteousness. They're not exactly the same, but there's a big overlap between the two. At any rate, there's insight into spiritual and moral issues when you're dealing with biblical wisdom. The third concept that defines wisdom, it involves knowledge, it involves insight, but this one may surprise you. The third element is skill. Skill. Matter of fact, the word wisdom, the Hebrew word, appears 149 times in the Old Testament. 38 of those are in the book of Proverbs. So this word occurs many more times outside of the book of Proverbs. In Exodus, it says this. In Exodus 31, God gives a man, well, let me read to you what it says. It designates this man and it says, the Lord says, "I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, in knowledge." Remember, those are the synonyms. He's just piling one synonym on top of the other. But then it says this, "in all manner of workmanship, to design artistic work, to work in gold, in silver, in bronze, in cutting jewels for setting, in carving wood, and to work in all manner of workmanship." Those are the opening verses of Exodus chapter 31. Now, what's going on? Well, it's talking about building the tabernacle. And God says, "I have filled this fella with wisdom, with wisdom in metal and wood and cloth." Why do you have to have wisdom to know how to carve a piece of wood or mold a piece of metal? And the answer is that the Hebrew word wisdom means skill. It's talking about the skill with metal, the skill with word, and the skill with cloth. Only, when it's not talking about that, it's talking about skill in living. By the way, there are repeated references to wisdom as skill in the Bible. David told Solomon in 1 Chronicles 22 about wise men who could build the temple. And he means skillful men. The Bible says in 2 Chronicles that Solomon used wise men to build the temple. Isaiah uses the word wisdom to mean skill, and so does Jeremiah. So that throughout the Old Testament, the word wisdom is used for skill, skill in craftsmanship. I think if we were going to use a modern incident of that, we would say that a mechanic has wisdom in working on a car. What does that mean? Well, it means he has certain knowledge, hopefully. It means that he has insight in how those things work. He has wisdom. When applied to the book of Proverbs, it's wisdom in living. It's skill in wisdom, in living. So wisdom in the book of Proverbs is knowledge. It is insight into moral and spiritual things. It is skill in knowing how to navigate life skillfully. That's the issue. Let me give you one more word. This one is going to, if skill didn't surprise you, this one will. It's shrewdness. It's being shrewd. Now, when we use the word shrewd, there's probably a little negative connotation to that. Maybe even a little evil connotation to that. That's not the case with the Hebrew word. It just means that wise people are a little shrewd. Matter of fact, let me give you an illustration. There's a fella named Jonadab in 2 Samuel. And Jonadab asked Ammon why he had lost weight. And Ammon told him it was because he loved Tamar. Do you remember that story? So he was lovesick, be a good way to put it, and it caused him to lose weight. And so Jonadab gave him some advice. He said, well, why don't you tell your father to let Tamar take care of you? Now, the Bible says in 2 Samuel 13:3, Joab is called a very crafty man. For making that shrewd suggestion as how he could get close to this girl he was in love with. Interesting. I quoted the New King James translation. More modern translations, some other modern translations, translate this very shrewd. One translates it very crafty, just like the New King James translation. But the idea is that there was some skill in trying to figure out how to get close to this girl you were in love with. Now, that story does not end well, but nevertheless, the idea, the suggestion of what to do, not what he ended up doing, was called wisdom, meaning it was shrewd, and it's translated that way. So, wisdom in the book of Proverbs is knowledge, insight, skill, and shrewdness. At the beginning of his reign as king, Solomon asked the Lord for wisdom. God said to him, ask for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. And he said, well, I want wisdom. And so God said, I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to give you wisdom and a whole bunch of other things besides, just because you were smart enough to ask for wisdom. Immediately after that story, in the book of 1 Kings, we're then told another story. There were two women, harlots, who lived together alone. One had a baby. The other had a baby 3 days later. The second lady's baby died. And then she claimed that the other lady's baby was her baby. And that ends up before Solomon, and he has to decide who's telling the truth. He has to decide whose baby this is. Now, that would be easy today. We'd just take a DNA test. There was no DNA test. So Solomon had to decide how to figure out whose baby this was. Remember the story? He said, bring me a DNA kit. No, not quite. He said, bring me a sword. Meaning, I'm going to cut this baby in two and give each person half. And one of the women, the first one who brought the case, said, no, don't do that. And Solomon said, ha-ha, she's the real mother. Now, that is the ultimate biblical illustration of wisdom. Why? Because it demonstrates that Solomon had insight into motherhood. He knew the mother would protect the baby at all costs, and the other woman was out for selfish gain, not just for a baby. She wasn't interested in the baby, she was interested in herself. That's insight. And the way he did it was just plain shrewd. So let me tell you how the Bible concludes that story. In 1 Kings 3:28 it says, "And all Israel heard the judgment with which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice." Interesting. The Bible specifically says that what Solomon did was wise, and all the people recognized it. All you have to do is hear the story to conclude that he was wise. And I suggest that bound up in that is he had some knowledge of human nature. He had some insight into motherhood. And with skill, he shrewdly devised a plan to solve that problem. That is wisdom. Now, I'm not quite defining wisdom yet. I need to say one other thing about it. And that is, to really understand wisdom in the Bible, and particularly the book of Proverbs, you need to understand one other facet. And that is that there are two kinds of wisdom. In James chapter 3, James says, there is a wisdom that is from above. There's a divine wisdom. He says there's a wisdom that is from beneath the earth. And he calls it earthly, calls it sensual, he calls it demonic. So, to simplify that, I'm going to say there is a secular wisdom and there is a sacred wisdom. There is a divine wisdom and there is a demonic wisdom. There is a wisdom from above, and there is a wisdom from below. Now let me talk about secular wisdom for a second. The Bible talks about that all the time. In the book of Genesis, Pharaoh called for the magicians of Egypt and the wise men of Egypt in Genesis 41:8. In Exodus, the Pharaoh then called for the wise men, sorcerers, and musicians in Exodus 7:11. In the book of Esther, we are told that there were wise men in Esther 1:13 and in Esther 6:15. Isaiah talks about the wise men of Egypt, and on and on and on I could go. I think today we would call this secular wisdom, street wisdom. You ever heard that expression? I was talking about this with somebody, and they pointed out, that person pointed out, that you only talk about that in a big city. You don't talk about street wisdom in a rural area. Why not? Well, because the idea behind street wisdom is you need to look over your shoulder. You need to be sure, you need to be aware of where you are and who's around. It's all, you have the wisdom, the skill to not go in places you know there's a danger, or not to associate with people who are gang members, the kind of thing that doesn't necessarily happen in a rural area. My point is simply that there is a wisdom that's wisdom. It's street wisdom. It's secular wisdom. It's not God's wisdom. So to really put this in perspective, we need to say that the wisdom in the book of Proverbs is divine wisdom that is insight and skill in living from God's perspective. Let me repeat that. All I'm doing so far is defining wisdom. It is insight and skill in living from God's perspective. Now, you might have some wisdom that you've got all on your own or from other people of how to navigate through all the situations in life. But there is another kind of wisdom. There is a divine wisdom that God says, this is the way to live your life. So the question becomes, why do I need God's wisdom? Why can't I just live by my wisdom? As a matter of fact, many people would say, I've done that all my life. Why not just continue? What is the advantage or the value of having God's wisdom? The answer to that is to read the whole book of Proverbs. But I'm going to try again to distill that massive amount of information into two simple reasons. If you read all that Proverbs has to say about this, I think it comes down to two things. God's wisdom protects you. God's wisdom prevents you from sin. For example, Solomon warns people not to be wise in their own eyes, but to fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's in 3:7 as well as 11:3. So wisdom gives protection, more protection, according to Solomon, to the wise than military strength. It guards you against such things as the perverse man in chapter 2, against the immoral and seductive woman mentioned in chapter 7. The idea being that God's wisdom will protect you from harm and being hurt. It prevents you from sin. In short, it prevents you from being stupid. Now, the second thing it does is it produces a ton of benefits. So it protects you on one hand, and it produces benefits on the other. Now, let me lay that out for just a second. Walking with the Lord, which includes obedience to the Lord. It includes practicing mercy and truth. But it adds quality and quantity to your life. So, according to the book of Proverbs, you will have a healthy, prosperous, favored, longer, richer, more pleasurable, peaceful life. And there are verses for each one of those things I just mentioned. You will be happier. Matter of fact, Proverbs 3:13 says, people who find wisdom find happiness. You will learn about the Lord. And one of the surprising things is you will live longer if you have divine wisdom. Both the scoffer and the wise are said to be responsible for themselves. But those who live wise lives will be delivered from trouble. And if you live this wise life, one of the values is that you will benefit not only yourself, but you'll benefit other people. So there are enormous benefits from living a wise life from God's point of view. So let me ask you, would you like to be healthy, prosperous, live in peace, be happy, and live longer and bless others? In the book of Proverbs, that's living a wise life. No wonder it says that the price and value of wisdom is above rubies in chapter 8, verse 11. Wisdom is more valuable than financial wealth in chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. As a matter of fact, in 16:16, the book of Proverbs says it is better than getting gold. Think about that. If I had up here a pile of gold on one hand and a pile of wisdom on the other, which one would you choose? That might determine whether you're stupid or smart, by the way. Might determine whether you're, from God's point of view, wise or a fool. Well, Proverbs says, you want to be really smart from God's perspective? You want to avoid harm and hurtful to yourself and be of help to others? Then get wisdom. Convinced? Interested? So what's the next question? How do I get it? Well, that's an interesting subject. Let me tell you how to get it. There's a number of ways you can get wisdom. And at the top of the list is, ask the Lord for it. In James chapter 1, James is talking about going through trials. And he is in essence saying that if you handle trials properly, you will end up spiritually mature. That's the point of James chapter 1. As a matter of fact, it's the point of the book of James. Then he says this, in the midst of that discussion, he says, and if you lack wisdom, ask, and the Lord will abundantly give it to you. He will not reproach you for asking. He will abundantly give you wisdom. So, ask the Lord for it. The second thing you can do is read the book of Proverbs. I started by pointing out that in the prologue of Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2 says, the purpose of Proverbs is to know wisdom. So how do you get wisdom? Answer, read Proverbs. I must confess that I've never done this. And for that reason, I almost hesitated to suggest it. But just because I haven't done it doesn't mean I shouldn't or that we shouldn't. And the suggestion is this. There are 31 chapters in the book of Proverbs. And in most months, there are 30 and sometimes 31 days. So if you want to get wisdom, how about just starting reading one chapter of Proverbs per day? How about starting today? What is today, the 5th? 5th? All right. We'll catch up next month with the first 4. How about today? When you go home, read chapter 5. How long would it take you to read a chapter? How much time do you spend watching television? You could probably read a chapter of Proverbs just during the commercials of 1 hour of television, you know? I mean, the commercials are getting longer and longer and more and more. Well, mute it and read Proverbs. Now, I have a friend, a dear friend, and he happens to be a pastor, and we discuss things all the time, and he knows I've been studying Proverbs for months and months preparing for this series, and I discussed some of it with him, and he'll rattle off a proverb. How did you remember that? Now, I can think my way through some of the books of the New Testament because they're in logical order. But, man, Proverbs is like a book of cards that's been shuffled, and you don't know what, you know, how did you know that verse was? And he said, for years I've read one chapter of Proverbs every day. It's amazing how he has remembered stuff that I wish I had done. You want wisdom? Kind of weak. You're just shaking your head. I told you what you had to do to get it. All right, take just a few minutes every day and read the book of Proverbs. The third thing, ask the Lord for it, read Proverbs. And the third thing is, you need to talk to wise people. Matter of fact, one of the things we will see as we go through this book is that you learn wisdom from other people. Quote, wisdom rests in the hearts of him who has understanding. That's Proverbs 14:33. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. That's Proverbs 10:13. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and her tongue is the law of kindness. That's the woman of virtue in Proverbs 31:26. To do evil is like the sport of a fool, but the man of understanding has wisdom. That's Proverbs 10:23. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom. Proverbs 10, verse 31, and on and on and on I could go. The book of Proverbs recognizes that the way you learn wisdom is talking to and listening to wise people. You ever heard the expression, he knows the ropes? You ever heard it? We're not exactly sure the origin of that expression. Some thinks it comes from sailors who knew how to tie knots on the ship. Some think it comes from the theater where they let down scenes by rope. The first time it appears in print, figuratively, not referring to literal ropes, is in a book written in 1802. And the line in the book says, I am a stranger, and I beg you to show me how I ought to proceed. You know the ropes and can give me good advice. When you're a stranger, talk to somebody who knows the territory, who knows the ropes. Likewise, when you're facing a situation you don't know how to handle, go talk to somebody who's been through that and knows the ropes. Go find some spiritually wise people. Let me give you another way to learn some wisdom. This, hopefully, you've learned. Wisdom comes from experience. Wisdom comes with age. You don't normally find a lot of wisdom in a six-year-old. And unfortunately, sometimes you don't find wisdom in a 60-year-old. However, the simple reality is that wisdom comes with age. So, we need to learn from people who've walked the road before us. Do you remember the expression, don't trust anybody over 30? How many of you remember that? How many of you never heard that expression? Boy, that'd show your age. You never heard that expression? Now, you're old enough to express. All right. It's usually attributed to Abbie Hoffman, Jerry Rubin, and the Beatles. But that's not where it came from. Here is the origin of the expression. There was a man named Weinberg who was one of the originators of the free speech movement at Berkeley. In November of 1964, he was being interviewed by a reporter from the San Francisco Chronicle who was working on the story of the free speech movement. Weinberg tells the story like this, and I'm going to quote him. I had been interviewed by a newspaper reporter, and he was making me very angry. It seemed to me his questions implied that we were being directed behind the scenes by communists or some other sinister group. I told him we had an expression in the movement that we didn't trust anybody over 30. It was my way of telling him to back off, that nobody was pulling our strings. On November 15th of 1964, the Chronicle printed the story quoting Weinberg as saying, we have a saying in the movement, we don't trust anyone over 30. And that's where the expression came from. Adopted by a lot of young people in the 60s. Well, let me tell you what the book of Proverbs says. You want to find wisdom? Listen to somebody over 60. Seriously. Go find somebody that's lived a wise life and learn wisdom from them. All right, how are we doing? You got it? Have I whet your appetite? You want wisdom? All right, let's review. Wisdom is insight and skill on how to live from God's point of view. It is more valuable than wealth, and it is obtained by asking the Lord for it, from his word, primarily the book of Proverbs, and from listening to other people, as well as your own personal experience. All right. I'm not done. I have a couple of other things to say, and this is going to take a minute. But I'm going to tell you, are you interested in getting this?
Yes.
All right, let me tell you what I've done. A number of years ago, I did a series of messages on Proverbs 1 through 9, because they're paragraphs, and I dealt with each paragraph. Beginning in chapter 10 and going through chapter 31, they're isolated proverbs, and every once in a while there's a little short paragraph, but they're basically isolated proverbs. If I took these one by one, we'll be here till the Lord comes. I mean, there are 20 chapters, 21, involved, and there's 30. What's, math teacher, what's 30 times 20?
30 times 20?
Yeah. There's 30 in each chapter, and there's 20 chapters.
600?
And there are how many Sundays in a year? 50. So 50 into 600 is 12 years. No? 50?
50 Sundays.
50 Sundays times 6. How many is that? 12. I mean, how many times is 50 into 60? 600?
12.
So if I took each proverb, we'd be here for 12 years. So for the rest of my life, I'm going to be teaching proverbs. So let me tell you what I've done. And it's taken me a long time. I've been doing this for, I don't know, I can't imagine how many hundreds of hours I've spent doing this. What I've done is I've gone through the whole book of Proverbs. I've written a commentary on every verse in the book of Proverbs. Then I've taken and looked at the topics that are covered in Proverbs. And I have isolated at least, the last time I counted, and I think I have a few more, 52. So I can do this in 1 year instead of 12. Okay? So this is the year of wisdom. What is this the year of in China stuff? This year, the rat? I prefer mine. We're going to do the year of wisdom, all right? Now, here are some of the subjects I'm going to cover. Not all. We're going to talk about the fool. How would you like to understand the fool, so that you don't be one? The simpleton. Oh, that is very fascinating. I remember discovering that many decades ago. The righteous, the wicked, the good, the not good, wrong thinking, anger and wrath, discouragement, depression, dissatisfaction, integrity, gossip, the ideal wife, the contentious wife. And now you're going to say, well, what are you going to say about the husband? Doesn't say anything about the husband. Why not? Well, I think a lot of the stuff that applies to the wife can be applied to the husband. But, interestingly enough, this book is written by Solomon to his son. And so he warns him about the contentious wife, and he ends with how to get the ideal wife. Interesting. We're going to cover all of that. It talks about friends and people not to be friends with. It talks about dangerous people, scoffers, lazy people. It talks about mind over body. It talks about how to live longer. There's one proverb that everybody in America, as Americans, need to hear. America needs to hear that proverb. And there are mysterious things it's talked about. Interest you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you hang with me and do what this book says, we'll all be wiser next year.
Amen.
Interest you? All right, so let me tell you a couple of things you got to do in the meantime. Number one, you got to desire this. If you don't desire it, it ain't going to work. I think people do what they want to do. So everything, I think the bottom line of the whole spiritual life is desire. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness will be filled. So if you don't want this, sorry. you won't get this either. If you hunger for it, you'll get it. That's number one. Number two, you need to be a little humble. The book of Proverbs says, don't lean on your own understanding. If you think you know everything, you're not going to learn much divine wisdom. You're not going to pay any attention to God, God's point of view. So you need to come to all of this with, I don't know everything. I've met a few people who think they know everything. They're proud and arrogant. God says, you're never going to learn wisdom unless you're willing to be a little humble and say, lean not on your own understanding. So that's a prerequisite. That scholar I've quoted a couple of times says this, the spiritual ethical wisdom is a divine gift that is acquired by anyone valuing it above everything else and making a single-minded decision to accept it in humility. Boy, that sentence captures it all. It's a divine gift, provided you value it among everything, above everything else, and you make a single-minded decision, I want it, and you come at it with a little humility. One more thing. Proverbs 23:23 says this, buy the truth, do not sell it, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. In other words, you need to come at this with a little humility. I need to learn, and I want it. And then you got to pay the price to get it. It's going to cost you. You're going to have to buy it. It costs. So if you're going to get it, you're going to have to pay the price. And then he says, don't sell it at any price. It is a bargain at any price. Commenting on that one proverb, one says, spare no expense, effort, or privation to obtain it, and do not place it above any earthly possession, worldly gain, sensual enjoyment, nor let it be taken away by any intimidation, argued away by any false reasoning, or prevailed against by any enticement in a way of advice. Another says it simply, we should spare no pain to acquire them, but never surrender them for anything in this world. Still another says, whatever energy or financial resources are necessary to acquire it, spend it. You want it? It's going to cost you. Now, I've already told you part of the cost. Read Proverbs once a day and attend the rest of these services for the next year. That was a commercial. You might miss out. You don't know. So come. And then it's going to cost you because you're going to have to do what it says. It's amazing. People will spend a fortune to learn how to make a living and nothing on how to live. What does it cost to go to college these days? 4 years and you could be $100,000 in debt or more. Well, if you'd spend $100,000 on a college education that may or may not give you a way to live, why not spend a little effort in learning how to live by wisdom? So you need to study God's Word like a student in college studies to get all A's. Or as one commentator says, what it takes is not brains or opportunity, but a decision. Do you want it? Then come and get it. That is what Proverbs says about obtaining Proverbs. Years ago, there was a man named John Wanamaker. He was a very wealthy businessman who also served as Postmaster General. When he died, his estate was valued at $100 million. That was 1922. In today's dollars, it would have been $1.5 billion. Here's what he said. When he was 11 years old, he bought his first copy of the scripture. In later years, he referred to the event saying, I made a large purchase involving millions of dollars. But when I was a boy in the country, I made my greatest transaction. Having attended a little Sunday school, I bought an inexpensive red leather Bible for $2.75, which I paid for in small installments. Looking back, I see that this book was the foundation on which my life has been built, and its influence has made possible all the things that have counted in my experience. It was the wisest, most important, far-reaching investment I ever made. So said a billionaire. May I repeat? It was the wisest, most important, far-reaching investment I ever made. You want wisdom? Then let's go buy it. And don't sell it. Father, thank you for giving us this book of wisdom. And Lord, give us a hunger and thirst to know it. And may the Spirit of God teach it to us as we go through this book. But Father, most of all, may as a result of our exposure to your word and this portion of it, we become wiser people that are living God-honoring lives. In Jesus' name.